O Lord, God of vengeance, O God of vengeance, shine forth. Rise up, O judge of the earth. Repay to the proud what they deserve. O Lord, how long shall the wicked, how long shall the wicked exult? They pour out their arrogant words. All the evildoers boast. They crush your people, O Lord, and afflict your heritage. They kill the widow and the sojourner and murder the fatherless. And they say, the Lord does not see, the God of Jacob does not perceive. Understand, O dullest of the people, fools, when will you be wise? He who planted the ear, does he not hear? He who formed the eye, does he not see? He who disciplines the nations, does he not rebuke? He who teaches man knowledge, the Lord, knows the thoughts of man, that they are but a breath. Blessed is the man whom you discipline, O Lord, and whom you teach out of your law, to give him rest from days of trouble, until a pit is dug for the wicked. For the Lord will not forsake his people. He will not abandon his heritage. For justice will return to the righteous, and all the upright in heart will follow it. Who rises up for me against the wicked? Who stands up for me against evildoers? If the Lord had not been my help, my soul would soon have lived in the land of silence. When I thought my foot slips, your steadfast love, O Lord, held me up. When the cares of my heart are many, your consolations cheer my soul. Can wicked rulers be allied with you, those who frame injustice by statute? They band together against the life of the righteous and condemn the innocent to death. But the Lord has become my stronghold, and my God, the rock of my refuge. He will bring back on them their iniquity and wipe them out for their wickedness. The Lord our God will wipe them out.
Thanks, Phil. Hello, everyone. Good to see you all. In February 2015, a video emerged showing the execution of 21 Egyptian Christians. These men had been kidnapped by Islamic State militants in Libya. The video showed these Christians wearing orange overalls. They were forced to kneel on the ground before they were beheaded. A caption by these Islamic State militants made it clear that the hostages were targeted because of their Christian faith. It referred to the victims as people of the cross, followers of the hostile Egyptian church. Now, when we hear heartbreaking stories like this, how should we respond? I suspect that most of us feel angry. Even if we are not Christians, we still feel really outraged by this atrocity. Well, this is exactly what the psalmist felt in today's psalm. He cries out, O Lord, how long shall the wicked exult? In other words, God, when will you judge these wicked murderers? They must not get away with their crime. And so today's psalm is really relevant to us because it tackles the issue of injustice. It is what is known as an imprecatory psalm. There are around 17 of these psalms in the Psalter. The psalmist sees oppression of God's people all around him. He is deeply distressed by it, and he cries out to God for vengeance. As we go through this psalm together, it will help us to respond rightly to the persecution of God's people. So let's dig into this psalm together now. You see an outline of the talk on your notice sheets. You can follow along with the points. Our first point is this. The wicked are crushing God's people. The wicked are crushing God's people. Let me read verses 3-7 again. O Lord, how long shall the wicked, how long shall the wicked exult? They pour out their arrogant words. All the evildoers boast. They crush your people, O Lord, and afflict your heritage. They kill the widow and the sojourner, and they murder the fatherless. And they say, the Lord does not see, the God of Jacob does not perceive. Now, I don't know if you have read the papers today, but the words wicked and evil are all over them. They've been used to describe Lucy Letby, the murderer of 7 babies. Well, who are the wicked in today's psalm? For the original readers of Psalm 94, the wicked were the foreign empires who governed the exiled Jews between the 6th and the 1st centuries BC. So these were successively the Babylonians, the Medo-Persians, and the Greeks. If you were here last week, you may remember Tom mentioning these empires in his talk. The Babylonians captured Jerusalem, and they carried the Jews off to Babylon. Think of Daniel and his friends in the Old Testament book of Daniel. And then the Babylonians were taken over by the Persians. Think of Esther and Mordecai in the book of Esther. The book of Daniel shows us the cruelty of the Babylonians. Do you remember the fiery furnace? A very famous Sunday school story. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, 3 Jewish boys, had done nothing wrong. They were grown men by then. But they simply refused to bow down to the king's statue. And yet they were condemned to an excruciating death. Or think of the book of Esther. There was a plot by the prime minister of the Persians to wipe out the Jews. Let me just read one verse from chapter 1 of Esther. Letters were sent by couriers to all the king's provinces with instruction to destroy, to kill, and to annihilate all Jews, young and old, women and children, in one day, and to plunder their goods. Haman was plotting to wipe out all the Jews in the whole of the Persian Empire. In modern terms, this would count as ethnic cleansing, genocide. So do you see that God's enemies in Old Testament times really did seek to crush and afflict God's people? They really did attempt to kill the widow and the sojourner. And these wicked leaders weren't ashamed of their wicked deeds. They were actually really proud of them. They boasted in them. They wanted others to know about their evil exploits. They even claimed that the Lord God of Israel was blind to his people's suffering. Verse 7 tells us, the Lord does not see, the God of Jacob does not perceive. Let's pause here for a moment. Do you see how shocking this is? They are implying that they can mistreat God's people with impunity. They can kill as many of God's people as they please. They believe that they won't have to face up to any consequences for massacring God's people. Well, in our world today, the wicked are still crushing God's people. We're mostly shielded from this in the West because the media doesn't give much attention to it. But a report commissioned by the Foreign Secretary in 2019 found that Christians were the most persecuted religious group in the world. In parts of the world, it is at near genocide levels. According to Open Doors, a Christian organization that helps persecuted Christians, over 5,000 Christians were murdered last year, and another 5,000 were abducted from their homes. North Korea has been at the top of the list of the worst persecutors for a number of years. They have imprisoned and tortured and killed thousands of Christians over the last 7 decades. And just a couple of months ago, in Uganda, Islamic militants slaughtered 38 children in their boarding school. The children were singing gospel hymns when the militants arrived. They then hacked the children to death with machetes. Just last Friday, several churches in Pakistan were burnt to the ground by local mobs. For us in the city, we may experience a much milder form of persecution. We may get summoned before HR for telling our colleagues about Jesus. In extreme cases, we may get sacked from our jobs for choosing to stand with Jesus. Who knows, perhaps in the future, we may get arrested for stating the biblical view on human sexuality. At this point, it's worth saying that people have committed terrible atrocities in the name of Christ. The Crusades are the most obvious example. The Spanish conquistadors inflicted great pain and suffering on the peoples of Central and South America in the 16th century. Nearer to home and in more recent times, Catholics and Protestants in Northern Ireland have done awful things to each other. It's important for Christians to acknowledge that we too have oppressed others, and we should be ashamed of these sinful acts. But the main point of the psalm so far is this: the wicked are crushing God's people all over the world. And so that begs the question: who will avenge God's people? Who will give them justice? Who will hold the Islamic State and North Korea to account? And so we come now to our second point. The psalmist wants his readers to understand that the Lord will bring justice to his people. Let me read verses 8 and 9. "Understand, O dullest of the people, fools, when will you be wise? He who planted the ear, does he not hear? He who formed the eye, does he not see? The Lord is the creator of the world. He made us human beings. He created the ear and the eye. So, of course, he sees everything that goes on in the world. He sees the decapitated Egyptian Christians in Libya. He sees the North Korean Christians being beaten up in the labor camp. He sees the Ugandan schoolchildren being hacked to death by Islamic militants. He sees the Christian lawyer warned by HR to stop telling people about Jesus. The Lord cares deeply about their suffering. He is grieved by their deaths. But not only does he see, he will also act. He will bring justice to his people." Let me read verses 14 and 15 for us. "For the Lord will not forsake his people. He will not forsake his heritage. For justice will return to the righteous, and all the upright in heart will follow it. At the end of the day, the Lord will rescue his people from their enemies. He will avenge them." Now, I love the Avengers films. Here's a photo of me at the Avengers headquarters. The job of the Avengers is to protect the weak and to punish the wicked. The Captain America, Iron Man, and Thor, and the rest of the team work together to execute justice. Praise God that he is the ultimate Avenger. He sees all the injustices that his people are going through. He knows that they are being oppressed and killed all over the world. He will not abandon his children. When the Lord Jesus comes back, he will rescue his people and punish the wicked. You just have to read Revelation chapters 20 and 21. The wicked will be thrown into the lake of fire, whereas the righteous will get to live in the new heavens and the new earth. If they refuse to repent and believe in Jesus, the North Korean government leaders and the Islamic militants who persecute God's people will get the judgment that they deserve. Well, what does this mean for us? Well, the next section of the psalm tells us. In our final section, this is our third point, the psalmist expresses his confidence in the Lord. He is consoled by the fact that the Lord will avenge his people. He cheers up. So let me read verse 19. When the cares of my heart are many, your consolations cheer my soul. The cares of his heart are the injustices faced by God's people. And yet his soul is cheered by the knowledge that the Lord will avenge his people. The psalmist seems to have experienced the Lord's rescue himself. Verses 17 and 18 tell us that if the Lord had not been his help, his soul would have lived in the land of silence. In other words, the Lord has already saved the psalmist from death. Verse 22 confirms this. The Lord has become his stronghold and God the rock of his refuge. The Lord is protecting the psalmist right now. And that was King David's experience in the Old Testament. Even though he was being hunted by Saul for many years, he was protected by the Lord time after time. And of course, it was also the Lord Jesus' experience in the New Testament. He was unjustly condemned to death by the Romans, and he was crucified on Calvary. But on the third day, he was raised to life. And so having experienced the Lord's rescue, the psalmist is confident that the Lord will destroy all his enemies. Verse 23 tells us, he will bring back on them their iniquity and wipe them out for their wickedness. The Lord our God will wipe them out. The psalmist is sure that the Lord will destroy the wicked. For those of us who follow the Lord Jesus, we can share in this confidence. We have already received new life in Christ. We've been raised with him. We now enjoy God's protection. And so even as we experience persecution in this world, we can be confident that the Lord will destroy all of our persecutors one day if they refuse to change sides. The Apostle Paul says at the end of his letter to the Romans, "The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet." He is referring to the enemies of the gospel. They will be crushed one day. This assurance of ultimate justice is hugely comforting. It means that we don't have to fear what our enemies may do to us. They may oppress us, they may sack us, they may even kill us. But God will avenge us on Judgment Day. Our enemies will get what they deserve. They will be judged by God. And so we don't need to fear them now. Even if we get locked up in prison, we can still stay faithful to the Lord Jesus and refuse to compromise our faith. Brothers and sisters, we really can cheer up. When the cares of our hearts are many, let the Lord's consolation cheer our souls. Not in a superficial sort of way, like cheer up, but rather a deep, settled conviction that everything will turn out well in the end. And so when we hear stories of Christians being persecuted around the world, we don't need to despair. When we ourselves are persecuted, we don't have to lose hope. Instead, we can take comfort in the Lord's promise of justice. We can be fully confident that we are on the right side of history. The Lord Jesus will vindicate us on Judgment Day. And that means we can wait patiently for that day. We can entrust vengeance to the Lord. We don't need to take things into our own hands. We don't need to take up arms against Islamic militants or North Korea. I think that was the mistake of the Crusaders. They took up arms and they went to conquer the Middle East in order to protect Christians from oppression by Muslims. This psalm reminds us that God sees everything that takes place, including all the suffering and oppression that his people are experiencing, and he will judge perfectly on Judgment Day. Of course, that doesn't mean we can't write to our MPs to express our solidarity with our persecuted brothers and sisters. I've done that myself several times. But you can ask me more about that later if you'd like to. But the main point of today's psalm is that we can have confidence that the Lord himself will act on behalf of his people. And so the main application is that we can pray. We can pray to the Lord. Prayer is the expression of that confidence in the Lord's promise to act. So let's be praying the prayer of verses 1 and 2. O Lord, God of vengeance, shine forth. Rise up, O judge of the earth. Repay to the proud what they deserve. Let's pray that God would bring justice to his people and punish the wicked as they deserve. Now, I know that Jesus taught us to love our enemies. We are commanded by him to turn the other cheek. And so we ought to do that. But it is also right to pray for justice. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus taught us to pray, "Your kingdom come." And ultimately, the arrival of God's kingdom is fulfilled in the return of the Lord Jesus. On that day, there will be justice for his persecuted saints. The Lord will avenge his people. The North Korean government and the Islamic State militants will be punished if they refuse to find forgiveness at the cross. And so let's keep praying for God's kingdom to come. Let's pray for justice for God's persecuted people. What if you're here as someone who's looking into the Christian faith? Well, if so, I'm so glad that you came today. You are very welcome here. And today's passage is relevant for you as well. It shows us that God is just. He cares about the oppression of his people. He will judge the persecutors of them. And I hope this makes you want to be on the right side of God, to choose to align yourself with his people instead of aligning yourself with the evil rulers who defy his authority and who crush his people. Come and enjoy God's rescue and his protection. Please do come back next week to hear more about this God. And you'd also be very welcome to speak to me or to Phil. We'd love to talk to you more about this. For now, why don't I lead us in a prayer? Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this psalm. Thank you that it gives us great confidence that there will be justice. Thank you that you promise to avenge your people on the final day when Jesus returns. Help us to take great comfort from this. Help us to pray, like the psalmist, for you to come and avenge your people. Please help us to really trust that you will fulfill your promise when Jesus returns. In his name we pray. Amen.